Psalm 37, we've been digging treasures out of the Psalms. Psalm 37, it's 40 verses long, I believe it is. 40 verses long. We're not going to look at every one of them tonight. We're going to look at the first few. We may come back at a later date and jotted down some things, I believe, from the remainder of the verses that we may come back and address down the road. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse number 1, David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious," don't be jealous against the workers of iniquity. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." I noticed as I began to study this psalm that God wants to give you rest. God wants to give me rest. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 and 29. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what, church? Rest. He goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." God wants to give us rest. But yet we're so tightly wound, filled with stress and anxiety. We get upset and our hearts are unsettled at what goes on in the world around us. We begin to read the headlines and there's an unsettledness in our lives. Things begin to happen in our lives and we're anxious about the future and what can be and could be and how it's going to turn out in our lives. About what's going to happen. We have noisy souls. There's an unsettledness that can be within us. We're filled with fear and its cousins of anxiety and worry and stress that so becomes a part of our lives, sort of gets a grip on us. Matter of fact, we get so used to being tightly wound, we get so used to living with stress and anxiety and fear and all of these different things in our lives that somehow we believe it's normal. And in actuality, that's not the normal Christian life. That's not what God desires for our lives. Notice David says, "Rest in the Lord." Jesus said, "I will give you rest." We have stress, we have anxiety, we have unsettledness, we're upset, we have turmoil rolling and boiling within us, and we feel at times our body almost feels like it shakes with anxiety. We have anything but rest, don't we? That's where David was at a point in his life. When you come to Psalm 37, it's written by David when he was an old man. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because he tells us. Look over at verse number 25. Notice what he says. "I have been young." Now here's the good news. If we're old, there was a time we were young. Amen? We get to experience it all, you know? He said, "I have been young and now am old." Did you see that? I'm old. You know what? The danger, young people came into the service tonight. Brother Lane felt that the message would be pertinent because, you see, it's not just those of us who are a little further down the road that have noisy souls. Young people have noisy souls today. Matter of fact, can I tell you, depression and suicide is at an all-time high in the lives of young adults from the ages of 10 all the way up to about 35, moving through that age gap. There's an anxiety level that there's never been before. They lived through a pandemic that really shut off their friends and shut them out and isolated them and brought fear, a spirit of fear into their lives, and an anxiety that maybe they've never even experienced before, really not even aware of what's going on in their lives. But yet we felt it too, didn't we? But yet one of the dangers when we're young is that we feel that maybe someone who's older is somehow out of touch, that really doesn't understand how we feel, that really doesn't understand what's going on in our current society. Can I help us understand? Just because somebody struggles using an iPhone doesn't mean that they don't have something pertinent to say to our lives. For some reason, we feel like that maybe because a person is a little further down the road that they really are so out of touch that they can't speak to where we are. And can I tell you that is far from the truth? No, David is a point in his life where he's older, but he's not out of touch. No, David's saying that I've been young and now I'm old. You know what he's saying? I've lived a while. I have experiences in my life and God has taught me some things. You know, the further we go down the road in the Christian life, the more God has the opportunity to teach us, isn't it? The more we have to experience it. And so what David said, I've got some lessons that God has taught me and I want to share them with you. And therefore, David said, God wants to give you rest. Now, when we talk about this matter of rest, we're not talking about lounging for hours on a bed or a couch, munching on junk food, vegetating our mind, binging on the favorite TV show. That's not rest. That's escapism. Because when you get off the couch and you quit eating the junk food and you quit binging the TV, all of the anxiety and the stress and the turmoil is still there. The noise of our soul is still raging and roaring inside of us. No. True rest is not passive, it's active. It releases the tension and the anxiety that dominates our hearts and minds. David talks about it in Psalm 37. It's found in two little words, and I want you to note them in your Bible. It's mentioned three times. Look at verse number one. He said, "Fret not." Did you see that? Look down if you would in verse number 7, middle part. He said, "Fret not thyself." Notice he said, "Fret not thyself." Just a phrase, two little words, "fret not." He's going to say it again in verse number 8, middle part of the verse. "Fret not thyself." Did you notice that it's something we're doing to ourselves? Hey, let me help us understand something about a noisy soul. It is not what is happening around me or happening to me. It's what I'm doing to me. It's not what somebody else is doing. It's not what life is doing. No, it's what I'm doing. David said, "Fret not thyself." Did you see that? I'm going to talk about that more in just a moment. That word "fret" is an old English word. We don't use it a lot today, but it's a good word. It comes from a word, it's an old English word for worry. It comes from a word that means to become hot or to become heated. Means to fume. It has the idea of being vexed, of being unsettled and upset, that we get so worked up about what is going on around us or what is happening to us that we become unsettled on the inside and our hearts are filled with turmoil and we have a noisy soul and we might sleep. We might even track our sleep. But we don't have rest. Did you notice those two words is a divine command? It's an imperative. It's commanding. Do you know I can't command my feelings? I can't command my emotions. But I can command what I do. My will, the choices of my life. And it's a divine imperative. You know, it's the same thing as when Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, "Take no thought for your life." He said, don't spend your life with anxiety and anxious worry. It's the same idea of Philippians 4:6 when Paul says, "Be careful, don't worry about anything." That's what he says. All-inclusive word, fret not. we find that David begins to talk to us about this matter. Somebody described Psalm 37 as a psalm for the anxious. It's a wisdom psalm. Much like the book of Proverbs, it contrasts the way of the godly and the way of the ungodly. It's akin to Psalm 1 that begins the Hebrew hymn book, what we would understand as the Psalter, the 150 Psalms. And you remember Psalm 1 has to do with the blessed life when you come to Psalm 37, and it deals with that wisdom. He's going to talk about a restful life. When Psalm 1, he talks about fruitfulness, but when you come to Psalm 37, he talks about peacefulness. Do you realize what the Bible says? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. When you trace the life of the wicked, the Bible said there is no peace. But yet God says, through the child of God, here's the difference, here's the contrast. Hey, the world might have to have a noisy soul, but you and I don't have to have a noisy soul. There's four key verbs in our text. They're action words. I want you to look at them. I'm going to circle them. I circled them in my Bible. Are you ready? It's the word trust in verse number 3. Did you see that? The word delight in verse number 4. The word commit in verse number 5. Many times we use these verses about finding the will of God in life and talking about desires of the heart. And while that's a great application, I really don't believe that's what David had in mind. I don't really believe he's talking about the desires of knowing my future and what God has for my... I believe it's the desire of our heart of living a life that is at rest. A life that is at peace. A life that's not affected by what's going on in the world around us. Wouldn't that be a good desire? How many of us would desire to live a worry-free life? You don't have to lift your hand. Yeah. Do you know that's a choice? Notice there's a fourth word, and it's found in verse 7. That's the heart of it, rest. By the way, you have to start at verse 3 to get to verse 7. Trust, delight, commit, rest. Can I go say one more word by way of introduction, and we're going to pray? This is not a formula. See, a lot of times you're going to say, let me give you a formula for worry-free living. Oh, no. Uh-uh. It's not like if I do this, that somehow or another a magic wand's going to happen in my life and I'm never going to worry again. I'm never going to have anxiety again. My soul is never going to be noisy. It's not that at all. It's not a formula. It is a pathway. God said this is the pathway to quieting a noisy soul. This is the pathway to living a worry-free life. This is the pathway to knowing my rest. That's what He's saying. And it all has to do with a choice. It's what I do to myself. I will choose a life of fretfulness, or I will choose a life of rest. I'll either have a noisy soul or I'll either allow God to quiet my soul. I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight out of Psalm 37 on quieting a noisy soul. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your Word. God, help me to preach from the overflow of what You've shared with me over these last days. Lord, speak into our lives. Help us to hear. But Lord, help us to do more than hear, but obey. You said it's not the hearer of the Word, but the doer that is blessed of God. Lord, teach us not to just be sermon hearers, but to be sermon doers. Lord, quiet our hearts tonight. Teach us what it means to live a restful life. Lord, it didn't mean it'd be a problem-free life. It didn't mean that it would be a trouble-free life. But I believe You can give us a restful life. And I'll thank You for what You teach us tonight from Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I began to look in this text and realize that David had a noisy soul, he began to talk. He looks back over his life and he begins to talk about the wicked, and he begins to talk about what's happened in his life and what's happened in the world around him and the unsettledness. And he says, "Fret not thyself." You know what he's saying? I've been where you are, and here's the answer to a worry-free life. Here is the pathway to a life of restfulness. And it begins in verse number 3. Notice what he says, trust in the Lord and do good. You want to quiet your noisy soul? Number 1, trust God with your life. Trust God with your life. When you say, preacher, I've already done that. I'm saved. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I understand that. Do you realize the same faith that saved you is the same faith that you're to live by in your everyday life? The just shall live by what, church? Faith. But yet, isn't it amazing how we trust God for our eternal soul? We trust God to save us from hell. We trust God to forgive our sins. But yet, somehow, God's not able to handle the day-to-day happenings of life. Somehow, I just can't trust Him with my life. You ever notice that? This word trust has the idea of dependence. It means to lean one's weight on something or someone. Here just a moment ago, while Brother Delp was up here giving prayer requests, I went over here to the chair that I sat in most Sundays that I'm here, and I sat down. You know, I didn't think about it. I just immediately sat down in that chair expecting it to hold me up. Now, you know what? If the bottom had fallen out of that chair and you're laughing out in the pews and almost ready to fall in the floor because I'm sitting in the floor, that would have shocked all of us, wouldn't it? Because every one of us in this room, when you sat down in that chair, you just expected it to hold you up. Can I tell you that's what trust means? You're just expecting God to do in His life what He says, do in your life what He says He'll do. That's trust. It's learning to be confident in God. Living by faith. Allowing God to work in our lives. Look up at verses 1 and 2. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." What was going on in David's life was the evildoers, those that had risen up against him, those that had made his life miserable. He was talking about the evil, not only just the sin in society, but how the evildoers had made, they had hunted him for 12 years of his life. His own son had risen up against him and stole the kingdom later in life. There was constantly enemies and battles and struggles and heartbreak and heartache. His child died. His son killed his other son. His oldest son, Absalom, violently abused his own sister. I forgot his name. Amnon, thank you. And Absalom killed him. That's in his family. He said, don't fret thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious. Listen, we either get upset at what's happening to us or around us, or watch this. Somehow or another, we wish we could trade places with them. Look what he says. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't be jealous of the unsaved or the wicked around you. Because it seems like they don't have any problems. And it seems like they don't have noisy souls. And it seems like that they just get by. And everything's good and glorious and grand in their lives. I mean, listen, I'm trying to get up, get the kids out the door, come to church on Sunday, and there's old Jim over there, and he's got his bass boat backing out of the driveway, waving the family, heading down to the lake for the picnic, and everything's going good in Jim's life. They're just happy, having a wonderful old time, and here I am struggling and battling, trying to get through life. I wish I was like Jim. There's young people that you wish you were like your friends or people you know, because it seems like they have a better life than you do. We want to trade places with them. We get the idea that somehow that the people that don't live for God don't have problems, or they don't have struggles, or that somehow they get by with their actions and somehow they have worry-free living. And can I tell you, that's just not true. They just drown their noisy soul in a different way. They drown it with pleasure. They drown it with drug addiction. They drown it with alcohol. They drown it with immorality. They drown it with pornography. They drown it with stuff. But you know what? Their soul is never at rest. But yours can be. When you and I learn to trust God with our lives, here's what David is saying. Don't get so caught up on what's going on around you and happening to you that you lose sight of the God above you. Young men and young ladies, listen to the pastor tonight. No matter what's going on in your life, your God is greater. Young people wonder if there's even going to be a world for them. I mean, they see the unrest, they see the turmoil, they hear the prognosticators who are prognosticating that somehow or another, if you drink out of a straw, the world's going to explode and end. And I know we laugh at that, but yet it unsettles people. And it is funny, but it unsettles them and it creates this anxiety with them. What is my world? Will there even be a world for me to grow up in? I just want to remind you that no matter what's going on around you or in you or happening to you, your God is greater. And don't ever lose sight of that fact. God's people, if we're not careful, we'll see our problems through God and we'll have a little God and big problems. When what David is wanting us to do is turn that around and see God and see our problems through God. Excuse me, they'll see God through their problems and they'll have a little God and big problems. But if you flip that around and you see your problems through God, then you got a big God and you got small problems. It's all in our perspective. Listen to me, I want you to get this. Someone wisely said, God may allow anxious circumstances into your life, but He'll never put anxious care into your heart. God may allow anxious circumstances into our lives, but He never puts anxious care. He never puts worry into our hearts. We put that in our own heart by listening to others, saying wrong things to ourselves, listening to the devil who has never told the truth and lies to us. Anxious care never has its origins in God. It never does. I believe there's in your notes, 2 Timothy 1:7, you can jot this down. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If there's a spirit of fear and anxiety and worry in your life tonight, that did not come from God. It came from the King of Terrors Himself, Satan Himself. God does not put fear in us. Oh, thank God for the fear of God that brings us to Himself. That's a healthy fear. God doesn't put unhealthy fears in our lives, into our hearts. He's given us not a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I like that last part, don't you? By the way, somebody gave me some of the most wisest advice that I've ever heard. He said, if you think you're losing your mind, I've got good news for you. You're not. He said, well, how do you know that? He said, because people that's lost their minds don't know it. I'm losing my mind. No, you're not. You're in complete control of your mind. You just feel like it. Listen to me. Listen. The moment you quit trusting is the moment you start fretting or worrying. God's answer for your fears and your worry and your anxiety and my anxiety and our noisy heart is to trust Him with our lives. Faith doesn't just replace fear, it drives out fear. Did you hear that? Faith doesn't just replace fear, it drives out fear. There is no fear in love. When I recognize how much my Heavenly Father loves me, when I recognize how much God loves me, the love that He has for me, He tells me that there's no fear in love, but perfect love. When I realize the perfect love of God in my life, listen, it casteth out fear. It drives it out because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What does that mean? It means I really haven't come to maturity in understanding the love that God has for me. Listen, if you're going to quiet your soul, it begins, number one, with trusting God with your life. Notice what He says, and do good. You know what that means, do right? Do what God tells me to do. Trust and obey. Faith always leads to action. When we believe the Lord, we'll obey the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I talk to many people about anxiety, fear, worry, depression, discouragement, all of these different things. My wife and I were discussing this the other day. And we'll begin to go through the biblical principles to overcoming these things. Here's what everybody wants. They want a quick fix. They want God to wave the wand and it's all gone. And it doesn't work that way. You remember, it's not a formula. It's a pathway. It's obedience. It's obedient living. I believe that God's... How many of us believe tonight that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God? Then when God has the answer to what's going on in our lives, do we not believe it and do it? Many times we share the answer to it all, but they don't believe it'll work. And therefore they never do it. Fear and anxiety will stop you from living. There's a difference between giving into your feelings and living by faith. You see, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. You can't always change what's going on around you. You can't change what's happening to you all the time. But you know what? I can change. I can control how I respond to it. Trust and obey. Trust God with your life. And here's what He says. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He's talking to Old Testament Israel, whose blessings were tied to a land. Our blessings aren't tied to a land. Our blessings are tied to a Lord. It's not a place, it is a person. And God, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Full, free, abundant life. That means a soul that is at rest in the God who loves me and is at work in my life. By the way, when you claim the promise, then you can apply the principle. Isn't that right? Number one, I got to move quickly, don't I? Number one, trust God with your life. Number two, I want you to get this. This is very important. I don't care what age you are. If you're saved tonight, this is number two. This is what you got to do. Make yourself happy in Jesus. Did you get that? Make yourself happy in Jesus. Look at verse number four. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Did you see that? And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What that means is listen, not me delighting in the Lord and He gives me a Lincoln. Y'all hadn't seen me. I'm just still driving a Chevrolet. Y'all notice that? It's not what He's talking about. He's talking about Him putting His desires in our heart. Of living out His will, His desires, His what He wants for us. And you know what? God wants you to have a restful life. He does. He does. And it begins with delighting myself in Him. You know what that word delight means? You ought to jot this down. It means to be merry. Merry. The Christian life is to be a delightful life. Nothing will rob your joy, take you from a glad heart to a sad heart. Nothing will upset your life and your heart quicker than anxious worry. Oh, we got so many Eeyore Christians. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm so good at that. Can you tell how good I am at that? My nickname's Eeyore. Hello, Pastor Eeyore. Oh, woe is me. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, my wife, she's out here. She's loving this. She's eating it a lot. Let me give you some verses. Are you ready for them? Proverbs 15:13. It's probably in your notes. If you don't have the outline, jot it down. Listen to what the Bible says. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. Most of the time, they contrast that in the sense of as something happened to me that caused sorrow of heart. That's not it at all. It's when I choose sorrow of heart. It's when I choose to live in the misery of my soul. It's when I choose to live in anxiety and fear and worry. I choose to do that. You know what it does? It breaks my spirit. To where I don't even want to live life. It's not what happens to me, it's what I choose to live in. I can choose a merry heart or a sorrow heart. Did you check that? Look at Proverbs 15, 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. What does he mean by afflicted there? Afflicted with discouragement, depression, fear, anxiety, worry. Afflicted. Or evil. You just don't want to live them. You have no zest for life. You don't even want to get up in the morning. There's no desire. No. God said, listen, but he that is of a merry heart, God brings abundance. God brings freedom. God brings blessing in the merry heart. Did you see that? Let me give you another one. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, there it is, drieth the bones. Do you know what fear and anxiety and worry and living in a world of depression and discouragement will do? You know what it'll do? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll suck the life out of you. That's what it'll do. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, I believe it's good to laugh. How many would say it's good to laugh? I enjoy laughing. We should laugh. I tell people all the time, one of the things I used to love to do is go, and I still have it. Now I can just do it on I used to have DVDs, but now you can do it just by going to YouTube and watch Looney Tunes. I mean real cartoons. Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner and Coyote. That's good stuff. I enjoy that. You know what? No matter how hard the coyote tries, he never gets the best of Roadrunner. You just think one time he's going to get it. He never does. Sometimes it's good to laugh, but you know, if all it is a laugh, my problems don't go away. The worry doesn't go away. It comes back when the laugh is over. Notice, a merry heart is not a silly heart. It is a joyful heart. Preacher, how do I have a merry heart? By delighting yourself in the Lord. The word delight is an action word. That means you do something. Determine every day of your life to make it your business to have a happy heart, to make your heart happy in Jesus. He alone is the source of joy. He alone is the one that can quiet the noisy heart. John 15, 11, these things Jesus said, have I spoken in you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Do you realize an unsaved world can never have a quiet, restful, joyful heart? Preacher, why is that? Because they don't have His joy. But Christian, you already do. It's yours. You have it. It's just letting it out. It's living out the truth of it. It's allowing His joy to flow in my life. You say, preacher, but I don't feel like it. You know what? One of the best things you can ever do. You ever notice when you get discouraged and you're full of fear and worry and anxiety and discouragement and all of those things, the last thing you want to do is read your Bible. Last thing you want to do is pray. Last thing you want to do is worship. Last thing you want to do is go to church. Last thing you want to do is praise. I don't feel like praising. Praise Him anyway. That's where it's at. The moment you don't feel like it is the moment you need to praise Him the most. To get into the Bible, to go to some of your favorite passages and just begin to say, Lord, I just want to trust. I'm so glad I can trust You with my life. I'm so glad that You're bigger than anything in my life, that You're greater, that greater is in me, that is He that's in me than He's in that's in the world. I'm so glad that You're in control of the world. God, I'm so out of control. You're so, God, I just want to pray. And when you start praising Him, something starts happening in your heart. Joy begins to come. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. You realize that it's a proven fact that you can only concentrate on one thing at a time. Focus on one thing at a time. I'm either doing one of two things. I'm focusing on myself or I'm focusing on the Lord. I'm either focusing on how bad my life is and how troublesome my life is and how hard my life is and how difficult my life is and how unfair my life is, or I can focus on the One who wants to give me far more than anything this life affords. I can focus on the God who loves me and has everything that I need in my life and has promised to see me through life, the One who is greater. And when you focus on Him, the joy begins to come. One of my favorite songs is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. Because sometimes when we're discouraged and our soul is noisy, we don't feel like He loves us. And you know what? That's when we need to not allow our feelings to control us, because your emotions will lie to you, young people. They'll lie to you. You cannot trust how you feel. You cannot trust what your heart says to you. Your heart will lie to you. It's deceitful above all things. But God will always tell you the truth. You quit listening to your heart and start listening to God. That He loves you. That He cares about you. That you're valuable to Him. That He's got a plan for your life. That He's greater than anything that goes on in your life. By the way, that's true for all of us, isn't it? Notice what happens. He gives me the desires of my heart. Isn't that a blessing? Number one, trust God with your life. You want to quiet your soul. Number two, make yourself happy in Jesus. Make it your business every day. Early will I seek thee. Make it your business every day to make your heart happy in Jesus. Number three, commit your way to the Lord. Look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That word commit means to roll away. It's more than just a prayer. It's a conscious moment by moment giving ourselves over to God. That's what it is. A moment by moment giving ourselves. I roll it over to the Lord. I give myself to Him. It's saying, God, I'm yours. God, you take control of my life. God, you direct my path. By the way, when you look over at verse number, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He, the Lord, delighteth in His way. There it is. God, you lead. I'm going to follow. God, I'm going to get out of the way. God, I'm going to quit trying to fix everything. God, I'm going to give it to You. I'm going to roll it over. By the way, you can have control over your spirit, your attitude. You can have control over your actions. You can have control over how you respond or to life. But listen, there are things you cannot control. Control what you can. Roll the rest of it away over onto the Lord. Give Him control of what you can't control. Give it to Him. Oh, control what you can. Nobody's in charge of your spirit, your attitude, but you. Nobody can control your actions but you. Control what you can control and give the rest to God. Oh, there's so much that's out of my control. I have no control over what my biopsy report will say. I have no control over that. That's out of control. Why should I worry about... I have a cloud hanging over my head. You ever have a cloud hanging over your head? But yet you can't control it. You have no control over it. Only God has control over that, not me. I have to give that to Him. The moment I roll it over to Him, the moment I say, God, it's out of my control, I can't fix it, I can't change it, God, it's Yours, I begin to hand it to God. Do you know what happens? Listen, it relieves me. The peace begins to come. The rest begins to come. The noise in my soul begins to quieten. Because you know why I have anxiety? I'm trying to control something that's out of my control. And it brings frustration. And I get upset. But when I've learned to trust Him with my life and make myself happy in Jesus, and then I commit my way to Him, I give Him what I can't control, suddenly, you know what? Things begin to ratchet down in my life. The jitters begin to leave. The soul begins to quiet down. My focus begins to change. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Not some of it, young person, not most of it. God said all of it. Every little detail and minute area of your life, whatever is bringing care and anxiety to you, God said, I want you to give it to Me. I love Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. This was my verse during COVID. Oh, during the pandemic. This is my verse. Because I mean, you didn't know what to do. You didn't mask, unmask, vaccinate, unvaccinate, meet, not meet. You didn't know what to do. I know what to do. Listen, I was just trying to navigate there was not a course to take. I couldn't go listen to a podcast, tell me how to fix everything. I didn't know how to do all that. And so finally, and I, you know, if you did this, this group got upset. Do that, that group got upset in the world, and all of this, and the potential of that. And you know what I just had to do? Say, God, I don't know what to do in all these areas. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to cast my burden on you. And you know what He said to me? Kevin, I'm going to sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Young person, listen to me. When you learn to anchor yourself in the God who loves you and cast your burdens on Him, your life will remain steadfast and stable and solid. You won't be like something tossed on the stormy waves of the sea, because that's how we feel most of the time. You know what? Roller coasters. Now, you know what? Sometimes roller coasters are fun, right? I don't ride them anymore, but Brother Delp and them do, okay? I don't ride them anymore, okay? I've learned better. Experience is a great teacher. The last time I was at Carowinds on Thunder Road, I don't know if they have it anymore. Do they still have that ride? They probably shut that thing down. It's so old, you know, it probably rickety and fall apart. I remember my wife and I were on that thing, and I looked at her and I said, "What in the world are we doing on here?" That may be how you feel. I'm glad you can get off the roller coaster and rest in Him. Maybe you're filled with anxious worry tonight. Maybe you're fearful of the future. Maybe you're noisy inside. Why don't tonight you slip forward at invitation time and recommit yourself to the Lord tonight to give it all to Him. God, tonight I give you in my life what I can't control. I give you what's out of my hands. God, I've been trying to figure it out. I've been trying to fix it. And you know, where's the frustration is? We know we can't fix it, but yet we worry about the outcome of it when we should just give it to God. Look at verse 5 again. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will accomplish His purposes in your life. God is at work. Can I promise you that nothing comes in your life or my life that's not necessary to make us like Jesus Christ? God knows that the only way for you to be made like His Son is to pass through this fire. And God loves you enough to let you pass through the fire because He knows the best thing in all the world for you is to be made like His Son, Jesus Christ. You ought to jot this down. Are you ready for it? I want you to remember this. I'm almost finished. I know I'm preaching a little longer tonight, but it's okay. We already got most everybody in here anyway. God, listen, God is too loving to ever be unkind. God is too loving to ever be unkind. And too wise to ever make a mistake. Young person, that breakup in your life, that heartache that you're going through, God didn't make a mistake. Those friends that turned on you, God's going to turn that for your good. He's not abandoned you. Hey, everybody in the world might abandon you, but Jesus never will. Isn't that a blessing? You want to quiet your soul tonight? Remember, this is a pathway. You have to do this every day of your life. It's a conscious choice to trust God with your life. It's easy to do that on the mountaintop. It's hard when we're in the valley, isn't it? Make yourself happy in Jesus every day of your life. Number two, commit your way to the Lord. And then number three, here you go, rest in His faithfulness. Did you get that? Rest in His faithfulness. Look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know what David never says about that? He talks about that the evildoers are one day going to be cut off. That's the long view. There's a whole nother lesson here about life, okay? And I wrote down about seven things, seven truths beyond this that I think are going to be worth preaching somewhere down the road. But God doesn't always put the fire out. God doesn't always take us out of the furnace. God doesn't always, right away, take us out of the trial. That's what we want. God, take me out of this. God, deliver me. That's what we believe. God, get me out of this. Rescue me. And we want it right then. Isn't that right? That's not what God always does. Notice He said, wait patiently for Him. Did you see that? Did you see that in that verse? We don't like that part, do we? I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. I used to get so mad at Walmart. I did. They lied all the time. They had a sign that said, if there are two or more people in line, we will open another register. Now, you don't even have a human being checking you out. They lied. I mean, you're back there in the sporting goods section staring. I mean, you're having to look at binoculars up at the front back then, and they never opened another register. They lied. You know what that word rest means? I'm going to give it to you. Ready? Here it comes. It means to be quiet. It means to get silent. To be quiet. To get silent. To be still before the Lord. To make quiet. Jot down Psalm 46, verse 10. To be quiet. To get silent. To be still before the Lord, to make quiet. That's what it means. God quieting the noisy soul. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what God's saying? I'm going to come on the scene. I will intervene. I will break through, but I'm going to do it in my time, not yours. That's what He's saying. It's when we get our eyes on God and His faithfulness that He quiets the noisy soul of our heart. You know, there's a parallel. I mentioned this earlier. There's a paralysis to fear and anxiety. We become afraid. Our emotions go haywire. We're agitated. We're frustrated. We don't see clearly. We don't think clearly. Life gets foggy. We can't find our way through it. It seems like it's never going to end. There's no way out. It's never going to get better. And we're filled with anxiety. And it just starts a vicious cycle in our lives. A merry-go-round that you can't get off of. And what we have to do is change our perspective. Instead of our view, we need heaven's view. Isn't it amazing how when you begin to get up here and look from God's viewpoint, things get far clearer? How do I do that, preacher? You start by saying, God, You have this. You have this. You have this. I remember when we were getting ready to deal with all this stuff coming through COVID, getting ready to build this building, this thing, this happening, that happening, the other happening, things going on in our lives. Every time God began to teach me from Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Is, that's a statement of fact. The Lord, the moment I was saved, He became my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what the psalmist is saying? My shepherd has this. No matter what comes into my life, no matter what I face, no matter what goes on around me, my shepherd has this. Christian, whatever comes into your life, God has this. It didn't catch Him by surprise. It didn't catch Him off guard. It didn't catch Him unprepared. He has it. He is already there. Young person, He's already in your tomorrow. He's got it. How many of us believe that tonight? How many of us are willing to live that? It's not just believing it, it's living it. I believe God says, what's bigger than you is not bigger than me. Give it to God. Do you realize you may have to do that 1,000 times? Lord, You have this. God, it's bigger than me. I can't fix it. God, it's out of my control. God, You have this. Lord, I'm just going to trust You. You have this. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but here's what I do know. You're faithful, God. You said You'd never fail me. You'd never forsake me. You'd never... God, You have this. Do you realize what's happening? As I do that, I'm voicing my trust. I'm committing my way to the Lord. I'm making myself happy in Jesus. I'm recognizing that my God is able. I'm recognizing that He's in control. I'm recognizing that He has this. And as He does that, guess what's happening? He's ratcheting down the anxiety. He's ratcheting down the stress. And you say, preacher, you just don't know. I'm so far down in this, I'll never get out. Friend, let me just tell you, you get on the pathway and you stay on the pathway and God will quiet your noisy soul. You just need to give Him time to work. You didn't get that way overnight, and it's not going to go away overnight. It takes time. Remember what He said? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We don't always understand what God's doing in our lives, but we can trust Him because in His time, He always brings His perfect plan to pass. How many of us believe tonight God's plan's perfect? I want you to jot this down. I'm done. I know I've preached a little longer tonight, but it's okay. We're getting good stuff. Amen? Okay. When you cannot trace God's hand, when you cannot trace God's hand, you can trust His heart. When you cannot trace God's hand, you can trust His heart. God, I can't see what You're doing. I don't understand what You're doing in my life. God, this makes absolutely no sense. But God, I know You love me. And I know You care about what's happening in my life. And I know You're bigger than anything that's going on in my life. And God, I trust Your heart. You have this. See, there's no quick fix to your worry. But there is a pathway to quieting a noisy soul. And you do this again and again and again and again and again. You're just constantly, moment by moment, trusting God with your life, making yourself happy in Jesus, committing your way to the Lord, resting in His faithfulness. Notice what He says. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He's going to make it happen. He's going to work in your life. He's going to quiet the noisy soul. We sing a song, but yet we don't really listen to the words. I'm going to give it to you and I'm done. I'm going to give an invitation. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries are vain. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I've never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. He sees, He knows. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? Our Lord will return for His loved ones someday. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith, we sing the chorus in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. There it is. The quieting of a noisy soul. Trust God with your life. Make yourself happy in Jesus. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in His faithfulness. He has this. Maybe tonight you need to slip forward and confess your worry and your fear, because it's what you're doing to yourself, because you're not looking to Him. And maybe tonight you need to confess that to the Lord and recommit yourself to Him. And begin to do, not just hear, but do, and let Him quiet the noise in your heart. Lord, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that we can live by faith, that we can trust You. Lord, sometimes we think the only people that live by faith is a missionary or maybe an evangelist or a pastor. Or we think that living by faith has to do with giving. But Lord, living by faith is a moment by moment endeavor of life, of trusting You, making ourselves happy in You, committing our way to You, and resting in Your faithfulness. Lord, to give it to You, to control what we can control, and give the rest to You. Lord, there's some folk tonight need to release some things that they're holding on to, some things that they're worrying over and struggling with and fretting over and frustrated about and unsettled. They're trying to fix it. But Lord, they can't, because it's beyond their control. And tonight they need to release it to You and allow You to begin to quiet the noise of their heart. And Father, I'm going to thank You for what You do in our lives. In Jesus' name.